Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-INYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. According to sources at the Pentagon, the major fighting in Iraq is over. The main battle for Tikrit has been won. Calm has returned to the cities of Mosul and Kirkuk. And the fighting is, the main battles have been won, according to Pentagon sources. That's, of course, extraordinarily good news. We got the five of spades and the seven of diamonds. We've got those. Now, do we also have the ace of spades? I wonder what will be the first pair, the first three of a kind that we get. You think we'll end up with a flush? Maybe a full house when it's all over? This is going to be interesting. I wonder if people will be gambling on the hands that are formed by the identities of the captured Iraqi officials. That'll be pretty interesting. And we have our own deck of cards that will be running in the Washington Times later this week in a full-page ad. Full page. Thanks to our audience, we talked about an idea last week, and we had significant support for it before we even went on the air. And so it's becoming a reality, a full-page ad in the Washington Times, sponsored by Bob Inyart Live, Denver Bible Church. We might actually have it sponsored by another ministry also. They've expressed interest in being involved. But I want to tell you what the ad is. You know, Christians, on Bob Inyart Live, we talk about Christians are the ones who should be qualified to teach people about public policy. What is good public policy? What is bad public policy? What is good law? What is bad law? What is the correct and proper morality? What's bad morality? Foreign policy. What should the government have as its foreign policy principles? And so in that vein, we have a website called justicemomentum.com. It's just going to be a short-term, useful website. Since we won the war in Afghanistan, we won the war in Iraq, American pilots now have the right to carry guns. We're more aggressive in our battle to investigate, search for, track down, hunt, arrest terrorists. And so there's a degree of American justice that's being achieved. And we should leverage the momentum of American justice. And we Christians should have the insight and the wisdom to try to steer public policy so that, you know, the government always does something. And the question is, what it does, is it helpful or is it counterproductive? Oftentimes, the things the government does are destructive. And so we have this full-page ad that we plan to take out in the Washington Times the end of this week in the National Edition. You might be a subscriber, in fact. And I'd like to read the ad to you. And then we'll do a lot of war news during the show. But here's the ad. The ad has three elements to it. It has a one-word headline, and then an image, a graphic in the middle of the full page. And then at the bottom of the page, it has some small print. And the one-word headline is the word next. Next with an ellipsis after it, dot, dot, dot. And the graphic in the middle, it says next. And the graphic is an ace of spades with the picture of Yasser Arafat right in the middle of it, with his title, President PA, Palestinian Authority, as the caption under his picture. Because, you know, in Iraq, the Pentagon, a very good tactic. They have a deck of cards, and on the cards, face cards, they got 55 face cards, the faces of the most wanted Iraqi officials. We used the deck of cards during World War II to identify the profile of enemy warplanes, for example. So now the next war, or the next country filled with terrorists, the next government that needs to be destroyed, could have its own deck of cards. And in Iraq, the ace of spades is the president. So if you move to the Palestinian Authority, the ace of spades there would be the president again, Yasser Arafat, in that case. And I'd like to read to you the small print text at the bottom of the ad. And if you'd like to participate in this, if you'd like to be a supporter of this, you're more than welcome to. We're not desperate for the funds for this. It's obvious this project is already well on its way to being accomplished. We need a little more money, but we've got most of the money for this full-page color ad on the back cover of the Washington Times. Here's the small print. It's got a little headline. As a terrorist, Arafat should never enjoy American diplomatic protection. Doesn't that make sense? As a terrorist, Arafat should never enjoy American diplomatic protection. And here's the small print. Let's leverage the momentum of American justice. President Bush saw the connection between America's security and the liberation of Afghans and Iraqis. Now we pray that he will no longer allow the United States to tolerate Palestinian terror. After repeated aggression from its neighbors, in defense, Israel took Gaza from Egypt, the West Bank from Jordan, and the Golan from Syria. Israel took no land from a Palestinian state, for no such state existed, nor was there a Palestinian currency, king, or constitution. Yet to live in peace, Israel offered to give Palestinians virtually all the land they have asked for. Refusing that offer, Arafat launched a new wave of terror, funding it as Palestinian Authority documents reveal. When America negotiates with terrorists like Arafat, we reinforce terrorist motivations. The Iraqis had praised their own leaders, yet needed liberation from them. So too with the Palestinians. JusticeMomentum.com exists only to support these ads. To help get this message to President Bush, you can email this ad to the president at whitehouse.gov, mail a copy to President Bush at the White House, we give the address, call the president, we give his phone number, to say, as a terrorist, Arafat should not enjoy American diplomatic protection. You could discuss this at theologyonline.com, sponsored by Denver Bible Church. Bees are amazing. Today's engineers stand in awe of God's honeybees. How do they fly? What are the benefits of the queen bee's unique diet of royal jelly? And our sponsor, Bee Alive, is an amazing company. They support our conservative programming, and you'll love their high-quality line of bee products. You like honey? Then you'll love Bee Alive's pure honey with the queen bee's royal jelly. Try their great-tasting fruit bars. Their pick-me-up queen's nectar comes in a beautiful single-serve vial. Take royal jelly and wheat germ supplements. And for you ladies, rub on their luxurious nighttime face cream called Bee Moisturized. What can we learn from honeybees? These little guys give us great taste, energy, nutrition, and natural ingredients. Call Bee Alive at 800-543-BEES, 800-543-BEES. That's 800-543-BEES, and tell them Bob sent you. Hey, you know, this month, at the end of the month, I'm going to be in South Bend, Indiana, at an IRN Information Radio Network is sponsoring a conference. And you could find out about the conference at our website at kgov.com, kgov.com, or at IRN's website. The topic I'll be speaking on is called Christianity and Public Policy. Christianity and Public Policy. It's going to be a lot of fun. Again, you're invited to go to our website. That's kgov.com, kgov.com, or call 800-336-7000 for info. All right. Well, now that was a live Be Alive spot. I know we're still on the commercial break for those listening on the internet. But the trick will be getting that spot into 60 seconds. That'll be the trick. And Be Alive, they've done quite a bit of advertising over the years. And our goal will be to help them see that they can get support from our audience here at Bob and Yurt Live. So you might want to give them a call. If you're interested, I have all their products in front of me. In fact, I've used all their products. They have this pick-me-up formula, this Be Alive Queen's Nectar in these little single-serve vials. You drink the whole serving, one shot. They're good. 800-543-BEES. We're back. Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-N-YURT, 1-800-836-9278. So not everyone will get the Ace of Spades picture card on our full-page ad in the Washington Times. People will say, well, why is it a picture card? Because not everybody follows the news closely enough to know that the military has distributed tens of thousands of packs of playing cards in Iraq with all these Iraqi officials' pictures on them. You want to talk about face cards? They're all face cards. Even the 2 and the 3 and the 4. And so, but those who follow the news, they'll get it. And those who don't get the picture, they'll be able to read the explanation. Let's leverage the momentum of American justice. And who better to point the government in the way that it should go than conservative Christians? Who better to know right from wrong, to have the insight and the wisdom? So we Christians, hey, we're not a majority in this country. You know, Jesus said the majority go to hell. So I don't expect that conservative Christians will be the majority, but oftentimes, it's not the majority that steers the culture. And believe me, the culture is not going to say, oh, we've been wrong all along. We got to do it the Christian way. The culture is not going to do that. But we Christians can have an influence. You can give me a call at 1-800-8-N-YURT. That's 1-800-836-9278. This idea of Christians being the ones... Christians are the ones who should govern. Who should govern? Unbelievers? Muslims? Atheists? Homosexuals? They'll make good governing officials. Everyone will have a condom starting at age 3 when the homosexuals finally take over. But it's Christians that are qualified, that are the most qualified to govern. Now, there are a lot of Christians who are liberals who hardly know right from wrong any better than unbelievers. And that's sad, and that's the state of the church, unfortunately. You know, back in the Bible days, they were a little bit more together than we are now. When the New Testament was being written, that the average Christian was told that you should be eating meat, but you're incapable of eating meat, so you're stuck with the milk. I can only give you milk, says one of the Bible writers, because you're not able to handle the meat. Now, that's back when Christians were strong. Today, forget about it. Today, we can't handle the milk. The church is lactose intolerant today. Christians can't even take the milk. So we have a challenge ahead of us. We not only need to influence the world and the unbelievers in our government, but we need to influence Christianity itself, the Christians. So I invite you to participate in thinking through how do we do that? How do we most effectively do that? This ad is scheduled to run in the Washington Times full page color ad back cover at the end of this week. We're real excited about that. Our phone number here is 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. So you know that the American military has been distributing these playing cards, a deck of playing cards. It's a real deck. You could play poker with it. You could play solitaire. I guess you could play war. And when you have a, you know, a short break from the war, you could play war with it. But each card, it will reinforce in their minds the image of someone who's wanted in Iraq. Someone responsible for the tyranny of the Iraqi regime. And so we're going to take off on that theme with this ad. And next, who's next? Next, please. Come on, don't be embarrassed. Who's next? And next should be the father of modern terrorism, the president of the Palestinian Authority, Yasser Arafat, who in English tells us that he condemns suicide bombers and terrorism. In Arabic, in the media, he calls for a million martyrs to march on Jerusalem. A million martyrs. What does that mean? Well, that means terrorist murderers. And we found his Palestinian Authority documents where he pays for the bombs that are built, that are used to blow up. How about one of the last on March 5th? Remember that bombing? It was the 2:30 in the afternoon bus. It was a school bus, basically. It was the local bus that carried kids home from school after school. That's the bus they targeted. And Yasser pays for it. So along with Saddam, Saddam has paid $3 million to Palestinians, over $20,000 for every successful Palestinian suicide bombing, terrorist bombing. So that's called state-sponsored terrorism. So anyway, we've already captured the five of spades and the seven of diamonds. Now, who was the five of spades and who's the seven of diamonds? Well, seven of diamonds. The seven of diamonds is the general who was the Saddam's number one right-hand man on chemical and biological weapons. So we have him. That's of course, real good. His name is al-Sadi. And we have the five of spades. Now, the five of spades is Saddam's half-brother. Half-brother, and he was a former interior minister of Iraq. Now, Saddam's half-brother, he has three half-brothers. This guy was the interior minister until one of Saddam's kids, Uday, shot him. So he shot him. You know, the Hussein family, they have their typical family squabblings where they kill one another, shoot one another, imprison one another's kids. And so this guy was the interior minister until Uday shot him. And Saddam didn't trust his brother and was having him watched. And he was captured near Mosul in northern Iraq as he tried to escape to Syria. So, it cracks me up the way the media reports some things. Like they'll say, the Pentagon is bewildered about something. You know, something that's unknown at this point, they'll say, the Pentagon is bewildered. And no one at the Pentagon said we're bewildered. They might say, we don't yet know. They don't say we're bewildered. This here, this little Associated Press article about we have Saddam's DNA, which is really cool. We have Saddam's DNA and his kids. What are his kids' names? Queasy and Fumi. We got his kids' DNA, his DNA. And General Tommy Franks said that yesterday, that, yeah, we have Saddam's DNA. And so here in this Associated Press article, it says Saddam's fate remains a maddening mystery. a maddening mystery. In other words, people are going mad at the Associated Press because they don't know Saddam's fate yet. So I guess the Associated Press is saying that their reporters are going mad because they can't figure out what happened to the Ace of Spades. Well, when you have the when you have an Ace of Spades in the hole, you're doing well. And I think that's what's going on. All right. What? Hey, the looting. Now we've already mentioned that things have calmed down in Mosul and Kirkuk. That's good. Calm has returned to those cities. In Baghdad, the looting that had been going on, it spread to army barracks and an Institute of Military Studies was looted and gutted by fire. And the Alam Presidential Palace was ransacked. Now, some of those things are pretty cool. All right, let's go to the phones, 1-800-836-9278. In Canada, Prince Albert, Canada, Ray, speak your mind.
Good day, sir.
Hello, Ray.
I got a question. I'm going to a church here in town, and
yeah,
we had our pastor did a message about the authority that pastors hold and that the government has, and how we should submit to authorities and. Right, the now, reason I'm
yeah, Ray. I'm, let me just. This sounds real interesting because these are. I don't know what he said about it, and I'm going to want to hear it. But he's touching on very important issues. God instituted three. God started three institutions: the family, the church, and the government. And each has its own sphere of authority. And so, I want to hear what your pastor said.
Well, there's been a lot of problems in our church. There's been an affair, and there's been involving some of the people in leadership,
and that they have been they've either resigned or been.
Well, that's the problem. They hadn't fella wasn't going to be disciplined in any way. He he was part of the worship team, like part of the music and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
And it was actually the pastor's son.
Oh.
And it was with a married woman. It was a real mess. But the pastor, the way we saw it,
Hey, Ray, I never heard of a story like this ever in my life. I can't believe this actually happened in a church. If I rack my brain thinking of every church I know of, I can't think of one where this has happened.
Well, we were just shocked. But what shocked us even more was we basically had to twist. There was a few of us and myself. When I saw the way things were being handled, I spoke up and said something.
Good for you.
And we had to twist the leadership arm to try to get them to do the right thing, and they still haven't. In my opinion, still haven't done the right thing. Now this is where I don't know how far, if I'm overstepping my boundaries. I mean, now it's at the point where this whole affair was just a symptom of a bigger problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we had last week, our pastor had a sermon about what he's called kingdom authority, and I've heard this sermon from another pastor, a famous pastor that's on television, and he had our pastor had a videotape that was circulating around, and then now he's came out and preached this message about how even though you may not agree with what the church is doing, we should act in submission to what they do. And I started thinking, well, what happens if your pastor is, say, if he's having an affair and he tells you not to do it?
Well, hold on. We'll be right back. Amazing. Today's engineers stand in awe of God's honeybees. How do they fly? What are the benefits of the queen bee's unique diet of royal jelly? And our sponsor, Bee Alive, is an amazing company. They support conservative programming, and you'll love their high-quality line of bee products. You like honey? Then you'll love Bee Alive's pure honey with the queen bee's royal jelly. Try their great-tasting fruit bars. Their pick-me-up Queen's Nectar comes in a beautiful single-serve vial. Take royal jelly and wheat germ supplements. And for you ladies, rub on their luxurious nighttime face cream called Be Moisturized. What can we learn from honeybees? These little guys give us great taste, energy, nutrition, and natural ingredients. Call Bee Alive at 800-543-BEES. 800-543-BEES. That's 543-BEES. And tell them Bob sent you. All right. Now, you know what, Nathaniel? I know we're still in a commercial break. Let's try that again. We have time. Count me down. Sorry. We're trying to get this right for the sponsor. Here we go. Bees are amazing. Today's engineers stand in awe of God's honeybees. How do they fly? What are the benefits of the queen bee's unique diet of royal jelly? And our sponsor, Bee Alive, is an amazing company. They support our conservative programming, and you'll love their high-quality line of bee products. You like honey? Then you'll love Bee Alive's pure honey with the queen bee's royal jelly. Try their great-tasting fruit bars. Their pick-me-up Queen's Nectar comes in a beautiful single-serve vial. Take royal jelly and wheat germ supplements. And for you ladies, rub on their luxurious nighttime face cream called Be Moisturized. What can we learn from honeybees? Try these little... boom, boy, I almost had it. That was going well. But give them a call, even though I blew the spot. 800-543-BEES. That's 800-543-BEES. Oh, we have more time? Oh. Okay, next commercial break. Let's try this again, okay? We got to get it right at least once. And then if we get it right, we'll bottle it up. Actually, we'll email an MP3 copy or a WAV file copy to the sponsor, and they could run it on IRN. That'll be good. Thanks. Bye. Now, Grandma Connie wants to buy some Bee Moisturized face cream for use at night. I got it right here, Mom. But Cheryl wants it. You and her are going to have to share it. It's just luxurious. It's so nice. It really... Oh, we're on the air? Oh, we're on the air. Let's go back to Canada. Our phone number, 1-800-836-9278. Okay, so Ray, it's you know, I would be discouraged, except the story you're telling us about churches accepting fornication, utter disregard for what God says about sexual immorality in leadership. It's grounds for putting someone out of the leadership immediately. There should be church discipline for those who don't repent.
Yeah, I kind of thought so too. But I mean, like I said, at this stage, I mean, it happened so long ago that now it's more of a symptom of a bigger problem.
What happened so long ago?
This affair.
Oh.
And
well, I didn't know that. So did the guy repent and now he's...
Well, my thinking was that because they were in leadership,
yeah,
that and they were still presenting themselves on the platform for ministry while this was happening.
Right.
My thinking was that they should
step down.
Yeah, step down.
Yeah, there's no question.
Which they
that's
did,
true.
But I was thinking more like they repented towards it wasn't even so much a willful repenting. They were asked to repent before the board of directors, like there are elders, and they did, or at least one did, there's a huge story behind it, and it would take a long time. But my question comes down to what happened was is that the leadership had a more tendency to try to cover it up than to try to deal with it.
Right.
And of course, I got
That's
vocal
typical.
About it.
Yeah. What?
But I just don't know if it a person's place in the congregation to question the authority of a pastor.
Well,
or,
of course, if something's going wrong, you don't have to keep silent like you're under Saddam's regime. You speak your mind. You should be respectful. you know, an individual is not always right. Individuals, just like, you know, organized leadership, sometimes are wrong.
Right.
Be express your concern, and hopefully it'll be heard and considered. And if it's severe enough, it depends on the severity of how much energy you put into the complaint, raising
right.
the complaint.
Right.
And if it's ongoing sexual immorality, well, then that would be something that should not be tolerated.
Right.
And you confront the leadership. And if there's no response, then you may have to leave the church. Now, in this, it sounds like this is something that happened in the past. And the pastor's son was caught. He said he was sorry, and he stepped down from leadership, the role he had.
Right. He hasn't actually apologized to the husband of the woman that he was with, as far as I know.
That's sad. Well, as far as you know. So if you don't know, though, you shouldn't say.
Well, very true.
Okay.
The problem I had with the whole thing is that our leadership seemed to blame the husband rather than the son. Because it was, they were more concerned about covering up because they didn't want anybody to know, and the husband seemed to get a lot of blunt of the blame. And I'm even taking a risk just calling on your show here because I mean there are some people that listen, you know, a couple people in our church that listen to your show,
right?
And I mean it could come back, but I'm so concerned about not so much about the whole affair and all that, but just how much does you know how much authority like. The message we got this weekend was more or less saying that you may not agree with what's going on in the church, but we've been given authority by God, and we are accountable to Him. And we don't want divisive people in the church and that sort of
thing.
He used the story of the centurion to Jesus when he said, "Can you come and heal my servant? He's paralyzed." And Jesus said, "Well, you know, I'll come and heal him." And he said, "No, you don't even have to come. You can just say the word, and it'll be done."
The centurion said, "Look, you don't have to do anything. My son is having an affair, and just don't pay any attention. Don't look behind the curtain."
Right.
So anyway, that's if I would call that a manipulation sermon.
Well, and that's what I thought.
Yeah, you should. If that it's manipulative, the pastor. Let's say there are people in the congregation that are doing wrong and saying the wrong thing on a particular issue. If the pastor is going to address it publicly, he should address the issue. The issue is
that's what I thought.
There are people in the church who think that we have mishandled the affair that my son had with a married woman while he was on the worship team.
Right.
And the reason we handled that correctly is X, Y, and Z.
Exactly.
And that's why we think the people in the congregation are wrong. So therefore, we wish they would stop, criticizing because they're wrong. It's to say that people in the church should shut up because we're in charge. And if you disagree with us, then leave. That's too manipulative.
Well, it got
it should
so
just
bad
be
that
direct.
It came down to he kind of compared it to the government as well, and he said the government has been put there, instituted by God, which is true. And he said even if it may sound ridiculous, but Hitler, and this is what he said, and I was
don't tell us we might throw up.
He said Hitler was God's servant. And I said Bob, I'm not one to stand up in church and say anything, and I didn't. But if there was ever a time I was going to, that was it, and I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, he's despicable. But you know what? There are millions of Christians that are equally despicable and discredit and bring shame to God.
Well, he said that because of Hitler, Israel became a nation in 1947.
So then everyone should have obeyed Hitler because he was God's servant.
Yeah, because I agree that government may be instituted by God, but governments don't always serve.
No, the authority of government, just like
right.
God authorized that parents would have authority over the kids.
Right.
That doesn't mean that if a rapist victim becomes pregnant, that God has authorized him to have authority over the child.
Right.
That's sick. You know, Christians are experts in being mindless.
Well, the one question I really like to have answered, and I'll make it kind of quick here.
Yeah.
Doesn't it say someplace, and forgive me, I don't really know, but to the effect that Pharaoh was a servant of, or was a minister of
God?
Well,
let's use Pharaoh as an example, just real briefly, to discredit the pastor's point.
Okay.
Pharaoh was the government.
Right.
And so by his standard, he should be obeyed. Yet the Hebrew midwives disobeyed Pharaoh, and they lied to Pharaoh, and God blessed them for their disobedience and their lies.
Right.
And God gave them families of their own. He blessed Rahab, the harlot in Jericho, for lying to the king and deceiving the king. And God, in the Bible, in the Hall of Faith, in Hebrews chapter 13,
uh-huh.
no, 11, where is it? Quick, somebody tell me. Hebrews 11, God said that, you know, half the people who God says were men of faith disobeyed the governing authorities, half of them.
He says that in Hebrews.
Well, it doesn't say that. Half of the people listed in Hebrews 11 Hall of Faith
right.
are people who are there because they disobeyed the governing authorities.
Such as who?
Well, such as people I just mentioned.
Like Rahab and...
Rahab and the Hebrew midwives.
Right.
You know, a number of the prophets and the apostles and Jesus disobeyed the governing authorities. And they were arrested and put on trial and
right.
either flogged or imprisoned or killed.
Right.
So disobeying the government, Peter said, we must obey God rather than men.
Right.
So anyway, that's why I was throwing up a few minutes ago.
Well.
And we knew what you were going to say. We knew what your pastor said.
Huh.
And it's nauseating.
Well, I just want to thank you, Bob, for clearing things up a little bit. I was kind of concerned that I had overstepped my boundaries. I mean, because there are a couple of serious things that are still happening. And,
well, Ray, and I don't know. You know, Canada only has 4 Christian churches in the whole country. So I don't know what you guys are going to do.
That's exactly.
How far south is the border? How long of a riot drive is it?
Oh, it's about 7 hours.
7 hours every Sunday.
I'm telling you.
That'll be tough. How long is the ride to Denver?
I'm guessing, but I'd say if I went straight, it'd be probably about 30 hours.
Okay, I'd say when you do it, make it a one-way trip. God bless you, Ray.
Well, if I can get down to the States, I will. But
all right.
It's tough to get a green card.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bob.
Ray from Prince Albert, Canada, 1-800-836-9278. Now, in Denver, we have Leslie Hanks on the line, who is a longtime leader in the Right to Life movement in Colorado. Leslie, hello.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing well, especially since you've called.
Well, it's good to hear your voice.
Thanks.
Hey, I just wanted to let your listening audience know about an event that we have coming up and see if we can encourage some participation.
Now, this is the event that my son Nathaniel is a competitor in.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Tell
Excellent.
Me about it.
Oh, that's exciting.
Tell us about it.
Oh, I bet he might win.
I'm rooting
the topic.
For him.
We have an oratory contest coming up, and this is the 6th year in a row that we've done this. And
an oratory contest.
For,
now, Leslie,
yes?
Please hold on through the break and
okay.
then explain to the public school teachers listening what that word means, oratory.
Okay.
Bees are amazing. Today's engineers stand in awe of God's honeybees. How do they fly? What are the benefits of the queen bee's unique diet of royal jelly? And our sponsor, Bee Alive, is an amazing company. They support our conservative programming, and you'll love their high-quality line of bee products. You like honey? Then you'll love Bee Alive's pure honey with the queen bee's royal jelly. Try their great-tasting fruit bars. Their pick-me-up queen's nectar comes in a beautiful single-serve vial. Take royal jelly and wheat germ supplements. And for you ladies, rub on their luxurious nighttime face cream called Bee Moisturized. What can we learn from honeybees? These little guys give us great taste, energy, nutrition, and natural ingredients. Call Bee Alive at 800-543-BEES, 800-543-BEES. That's 800-543-BEES. Tell them Bob sent you. All right, now that was maybe acceptable except for the very last second. Tell him Bob sent you. That didn't flow. Let's try it one more time. All right? I think the audience will put up with me. Give me a 5-second countdown or something. Bees are amazing. Today's engineers stand in awe of God's honeybees. How do they fly? What are the benefits of the queen bee's unique diet of royal jelly? And our sponsor, Bee Alive, is an amazing company. They support our conservative programming, and you'll love their high-quality line of bee products. You like honey? Then you'll love Bee Alive's pure honey with the queen bee's royal jelly. Try their great-tasting fruit bars. Their pick-me-up queen's nectar comes in a beautiful single-serve vial. Take royal jelly and wheat germ supplements. And for you ladies, rub on their luxurious nighttime face cream called Bee Moisturized. What can we learn from the honeybees? These little guys give us great taste, energy, nutrition, and natural ingredients. Call Bee Alive at 800-543-BEES, 800-543-BEES. That's 800-543-BEES. And tell them Bob sent you. I think that works. A little music bed underneath, a little, you know, Flight of the Bumblebee on there. And that might just be... But it put about a 1.5 second music lead in and a 1.5 second. That'll work. That's a take. Cut. Take 4, 5. Okay, I tried. Take 5. 5 takes. Okay. It's the Flight of the Bumblebee. Bee Alive. This is a new sponsor. We never had the sponsor. Going to be advertising on Bob and Yurt Live via IRN, Information Radio Network, and we're excited about that. There's such quality products. They're all just beautiful. Okay, Leslie Hanks with Colorado Right to Life. Leslie, you guys have an oratory contest, the 6th annual oratory contest.
Coming up on May 10th.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well, every year National Right to Life has an oratory contest, mm-hmm. and it's in conjunction with their annual conference. And what we do in Colorado is we host a local oratory contest. And, of course, oratory is the art of public speaking. Mm. And we encourage high school juniors and seniors to participate. You have to be a high school junior or senior, and you have to present an originally written speech on the topic of either abortion, euthanasia, or infanticide, mm-hmm. and the winner of our contest will receive an expense-paid trip to participate in the National Right to Life contest.
All expense paid?
Yeah, so it's a pretty cool deal, and then the winner at the national level...
And where is... That'll be in Washington, D.C.?
No, it'll actually be in St. Louis this year.
St. Louis, Missouri.
Right, and the National Right to Life Oratory Contest will be on July 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that wins at the national level actually gets $1,000 for first prize. Second
Ooh.
Prize is $750.
Ooh.
Third prize is $500, and fourth prize is $250. So it's you know, a little bit of motivation to encourage kids
yeah.
to participate.
All right. So how do they find out more?
Well, best way is to call our office,
mm-hmm.
and they can ask for Linda. And the phone number is 303-753-9394.
Now, this is only open to Colorado residents?
Well, our contest is, yeah.
Okay.
Now, people will be participating from all the other states that will be going to the National Right to Life
right.
contest.
Right. So other people listening, say in Louisiana or Massachusetts, New York,
oh,
Indiana.
Right. I would encourage them to contact their local Right to Life office because they probably have similar contests going on.
Yeah. And they can say, what's up? Where's our local contest?
Yeah. And if they don't, you know, if their office is not involved
in it. Then just enter the national.
I don't know whether they can go straight to national. They might be able to, but
right.
the competition's pretty stiff. So what we think is good about doing it locally is that it gives the kids the opportunity to
yeah.
you know, network with other students and
right.
and get themselves sharper
and
then go participate at the national level.
And the winner gets to deliver the speech live over the Information Radio Network, airing in 7 cities around the country on Bob and Yurt Live.
Awesome.
So that'll be fun.
Absolutely. Now, you can also access our website at coloradorighttolife.org, and there's information on there.
All right.
And we actually have it set up to where a person could print an application form if they have Adobe.
That's great. Everybody has Adobe.
So we just really hope that there's some people out there that have kids of the correct age. It does
All
have
right.
to be a high school junior or senior.
Well, we hope so. And, hey, I'm going to put in my own request. Every entrant should... make their entry available to Bob and Yurt Live also.
Well, Well, that sounds good.
So we could track our audience, the kids in our audience's families.
Oh, that would be cool.
Track their participation. And if any of our audience members who live out of the state, if they enter under an assumed name and Colorado address, well, then we're going to have to do something about that. A little talk show discipline.
We actually, I don't believe, have ever had an out-of-state student try to participate, but I think we have it set up that it has to be a Colorado high school junior or senior. So, and the speech should be 5 to 7 minutes, and they are pretty tight on the timing.
Five to 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And it has to be original research that they've done on their own.
All right.
And the topic, again, would be abortion, euthanasia, or infanticide.
Okay. This sounds great, Leslie.
Well, thank you so much for letting me share it with your audience.
Letting you? I'd pay you to do it if you forced me. Thanks, Leslie.
Hey, thanks for letting me call in, Bob.
God bless you.
Take care. God bless you.
All right. 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. So, hey, that'll be neat, right? That will be good, that oratory contest. I want to see how Nathaniel does a 5-minute speech. Now, not all, you know, not everyone who speaks in public is an extrovert. Did you know that? Introverts speak in public too. It takes more energy to do it. In like politicians, actors, a lot of introverts are actors. You'd think they'd only be extroverts. It's not true. Introverts that have a job that requires them to do work in a public venue, they do it. It's their job. They just have to do it. It just takes more energy. When they're done, they're more drained. An extrovert, when he's done, he says, now where do we go? What's next? Let's go to Denny's. Yeah, but it's 11:30 at night. You've just been speaking for 2.5 hours. Let's go to Denny's. I got another hour's worth of chatting to do. That's the difference between people. All right. Hey, you've heard that our soldiers in Iraq and Baghdad have searched the Ba'ath Party headquarters, and they have found James Bond-type weapons, like briefcases with submachine guns in the briefcase, and the trigger is on the handle of the briefcase. Saddam, you know, Saddam's a bit of a wacko. He hired one of the producers of one of the James Bond movies. He did to film a reenactment of a little skirmish with guns that Saddam was involved in 30 years ago. And he hired a James Bond producer to film it in Baghdad. Reenactment. They also found air guns with small canisters labeled. The air gun comes in like a little attaché case, and it's got vials that are labeled smoke, noise, cyanide, and tear gas. That's interesting. All right. So our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. We had a question here. Our tanks, you know, we get a lot of email at kgov.com, kgov.com. And a question here, do tanks have air conditioning? No, they don't. Okay, tanks do not have air conditioning. Well, oh, and of the 7 POWs that are back with us, the prisoners of war, the 2 Apache helicopter pilots, you know, I'm always... Whenever Apaches are involved in our military efforts, I just have to pay special attention, because back before the Apache, when it was in development and before the Army took delivery of a single Apache, I worked for Hughes Helicopters, the company that developed the Apache, on the Apache program in the simulation department. We built the simulators that teach the pilots and the maintenance guys how the Apache works, how to use it, how to fix it, how to fly it, how to use the weapon systems, the target acquisition designation systems. It's a lot of fun working there. And so whenever the Apaches are involved in a battle, I'm just extra interested. So these 2 Apache pilots who were captured you know, I'm especially thrilled that they have been recovered. And by the way, Hughes developed the Apache, but then Hughes Helicopters was purchased by McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company. So I ended up working for both companies. And back then, I was a little upstart troublemaker. And I remember a highlight of my time with those two companies was getting to brief a Pentagon procurement general, because the Pentagon was concerned that delivery could be postponed of the first 60 Apaches because of, you know, technical difficulties. It's hard to make the next generation attack helicopter. And so when he came out to this was in Mesa, Arizona and Culver City, California, back and forth once a week. I had to go between LAX, Culver City in Los Angeles, and in Phoenix or Mesa, Arizona. He came out to Mesa, Arizona. Was it Mesa or was it Culver City? You know, I forget. I think it was Mesa. And I got to brief him on the status of how the simulators were coming. And it was a lot of fun. I just thoroughly enjoyed it. I got to play with the simulator myself. In fact, we'd open the hangar door in Culver City and sit in the simulator Apache and put on the infrared vision system. I tell you, we open the door and look a mile away, and you could see, you know, you see a guy driving up to his house, getting out of his car. You see his engine. You could tell he has a pack of cigarettes and a lighter in his pocket, and the lighter's warm. I don't know if it was a mile away. My recollection is about a mile away. It was far. It was cool. It was a lot of fun. And then we'd shoot these 30-millimeter rounds into a big old metal drum. Of course, they were not live rounds, but you'd shoot them. I forget how many rounds a second. And, you know, I was a software guy. And the hardware guys, this is true in all businesses. Hardware guys don't understand software guys, and they don't like them all that much. And in the simulator, there was a big red button. And when you start up the simulator, and, you know, the software guys get in and they push every conceivable button, lever, switch, key, turn everything. And there's a big sign on the big red button, and it said, "Never push this button. Especially you software guys, don't push the button." So I'm in a simulator doing everything. "What does that button do? Push that button." Hardware guy comes running out. "What did you push a button for? You know what I got to do now?" I said, "What do you got a button in here for if you can't push it? What's the point of an unpushable button? You know, software, anything you push, you just unpush." And the hardware guys were all always getting all upset. Anyway, it was a lot of fun working on the Apache, and I admire the pilots who fly those things. Just getting through training's got to be a challenge. So our military has done a tremendous job, and the ones who put together this war plan and led this politically and militarily, it's all been brilliant so far. The war on terror, the war in Afghanistan, the war in Iraq. You know, the Afghans won the war in Afghanistan, and the Iraqis are winning the war in Iraq. Our American victory will enable the Iraqis to say, "Hey, we won too." Isn't that cool? This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.